our message tonight. We started a message a couple of Sundays ago on healing. Actually, it was back in the end of December, I think, and we titled it "Healed." And I wanted to just kind of get into a series at the time, but really God put some other things on our hearts, and so we did some other different things. But I want to come back to this, and I want to take just a few more weeks and just talk about it, because you know we need to realize that healing is part of the atonement. Healing is really as much a part of the atonement as really being born again or the grace that God gives us to have a relationship with Him, all right? The Bible says that we don't forget His benefits, who heals all of our diseases and forgives all of our iniquities, Psalm 103, verse 3. We'll probably look at that in a little bit. But we've got to realize that part of the atonement is healing. And how many have ever needed healing in their spirit, you know, emotionally, in your mind? Come on, somebody. You know, it's just like our mind is crazy sometimes. But we also need healing even in our physical bodies. How many have needed healing in your physical body? Maybe you're facing something right now. But healing is part of the atonement. It is part of what Jesus did for you and I. I want to read a scripture, 3 John 2. It says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things," say all things, "and be in health just as your soul prospers." See, healing starts with what we believe about it. It's important that we realize that healing is something that God has for it. All right, Jesus said time and again, and we'll see through the scriptures, that He said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. According to your faith, let it be done to you. And the enemy is always sowing seeds of doubt. You ever notice that? In everything. And we'll look at some of the scriptures tonight that are going to help us. But realize that Jesus came to make us whole, spirit, soul, and body. Now, we are a spirit. We have a soul. That's our mind. We live in a body. But He wants healing for all of it, all right? All three parts for you and I. Bringing spiritual, physical, and mental healing. The healing that God brings and that you and I receive is really based on His love. The Bible tells us in Galatians 5 that faith works through love. Stay with me for a moment. This will make sense to you. So even though His healing brings spiritual, physical, and mental healing, it's not it's so much more than that He's done for us. His healing, in fact, makes us whole. Jesus came to make us whole, spirit, soul, and body. Now, we live in perishable bodies that don't last forever. But Jesus came and He took care of that. And that's something that's coming in the future. But here in the body that we have now, there is healing that we can have, spirit, soul, and body. Healthy relationships, healthy attitudes, healthy habits. See, God is interested in every detail of our lives. It says in Psalm 37:23 that God delights in every detail of our lives. And the reason I'm taking time with this is sometimes we think, well, God doesn't care about that. Sometimes we think all we can see is our problem. All we can see is whatever it is that we're facing, especially in the area of healing, since we're talking about that tonight. We say, you know what? I know God's word says, by His stripes I am healed, but the doctors tell me otherwise. I know that the word says, by His stripes I'm healed, but my symptoms tell me otherwise. And so there's always something that's coming and saying, well, God is a liar and not true. But listen, God is true, and everything else needs to line up with what His word says. So it's important what we believe. We have got to believe that God is interested in every detail of our lives. There's nothing too small. There's nothing too great. God wants to be involved with our life on a day-by-day basis, in the small things, in the great, large things. It says this, Luke 12, verse 6, He says, "What is the price of 5 sparrows, a couple of pennies? Yet God does not forget a single one of them, and the very hairs on your head are all numbered, so don't be afraid. You are more valuable to Him than a whole flock of sparrows." See, God has numbered the hairs of your head. I just made His job a whole lot easier. But if you think about that, I mean, it even says that His thoughts towards us are greater in number than the sands of the sea. Think about that. God is interested in every detail of your life. So number one, the thing we talked about a few weeks ago, again, I'm doing a quick review and then we'll look at the word a little bit around healing tonight, but we have got to know that it's God's will to heal you. We have to settle that. See, most people will even recognize that God can heal or will heal. But the problem we run into is we either think healing's not for today. Some people say, well, you know, healing went away with the disciples. Healing went away with the early church. That is not at all what the scriptures teach. Healing is for us today. Say, healing is for me today. And we have to believe that. I mean, listen, it comes with the atonement just as salvation does for our souls. So if we say that healing doesn't exist, then salvation can't exist. All right? And it all works through His love. the love of God. Remember, so many know the scripture, John 3:16. We're not going to turn there, but it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved us so much that he gave us everlasting life. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says that God is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to everlasting life. And so the reason that's important is because health, healing, and eternal life are really one in the same. God looks at them the same. Healing is something that he does. He says, look, I am making you whole, spirit, soul, and body. Now, the body part is the redemption at the rapture of the saints, when Jesus comes back, when we're all gathered back together. We're not going to spend a bunch of time on that, but that's the ultimate healing. But here in this life, we can have health and healing for our physical bodies, but we need to realize that it's God's love. If you don't believe that God loves you, if you don't believe that God's love includes healing, it's going to be hard for you to receive healing in your physical body. Because every time doubt tries to come and you'll say, well, maybe God really doesn't love me. Maybe it's not for me. Maybe he healed so-and-so, but he's not going to heal me. You've got to take that thought and cast it away. The Bible says we take authority over every thought that's contrary to the Word of God. And we need to do that. Read with me Galatians 5:6. He says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Let me just say this. You can't receive this by your good works. Understand, the Jewish people had a covenant, and circumcision was one of the signs, part of what they needed to do in that covenant. Now, there's so much more than that, but listen, it is not about being circumcised or uncircumcised. It's about the love of God being extended to you and I, and that's the covenant that he's made with us, is love. Say love. And see, sickness is something that needs to be healed and, in fact, destroyed by faith. Sickness is something we can destroy by faith. Healing begins within. So, number one, we need to realize that healing is for us or for me, and then healing begins on the inside. See, your soul governs your physical life. Illnesses, distresses, torments can be passed on from your mind to your body. I mean, science shows us that just by worrying, you can bring sicknesses on your physical body and definitely make them worse, just by worry, all right? And so it's important what we believe about healing. Even doctors will tell you a person with a positive attitude will receive healing when a person who's negative. I'm talking, let's just take the gospel out of it, just in the natural. But then we've got the gospel that says, by Jesus' stripes, we were healed. All right? So we've got to believe it in our mind. It begins within. You can suffer from all kinds of things. Nervousness, insecurity, lack of faith, fear, frustrations are all symptoms of a man's soul sickness, something that's wrong on the inside that we're not thinking properly. So we need to think properly about God and his word. Let God into your soul and let his healing virtue really into your body. We looked at a couple of weeks ago, Proverbs 17:22. It says, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. But a broken spirit dries the bones. And broken means smitten or to strike or to hit. And again, medical science has proven that really by worrying, by being depressed, by being broken continually, it literally will wear on the marrow of our bones, which is really where good blood, well, all your blood comes from there, but that produces the red blood cells that really aid in healing. And so, again, I don't want to spend a bunch of time on that. We did a few weeks ago, but I thought it was necessary to just do a little bit of a review. So we have got to believe that God has our best interest in mind. We've got to focus on the word of God and say, if God did that for somebody else, he's doing it for me according to his word, all right? Well, the rest of the evening, I want to look at a couple of examples in scripture of Jesus healing. And we've got to realize that something that great healer Oral Roberts, anybody ever heard of Oral Roberts? He talks about it as a point of contact. And understand, a point of contact can be something physical or it can really just be your faith. It's your faith is your point of contact. And what I mean by that, that's when healing becomes yours. That's when you're like, I got it. It's like the light bulb goes on. And you'll see through scriptures that there were times Jesus healed by laying hands on someone. There were times that Jesus, people received healing by touching Jesus or his garment. There were times where Jesus spoke a word and healing came. All right? So healing can come a bunch of different ways, but really the point of contact, if you will, is our faith. Oral Roberts said this. He said, faith is the meeting ground between your limited self and our limitless God. It's the meeting ground between your limited self and our limitless God. That's what faith is. That's what our point of contact is. Matthew 8:5, verses 5 through 13. Let's read this together. He says, "Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.'" Let me just tell you, that is Jesus' attitude toward every single one of us. It is no different. I will come and heal him. Jesus brings healing. Jesus brings healing for you and I. Centurion said to him, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed." Do you see the faith this guy has? He says, "Speak a word and my servant will," not might, but will be healed. All right? "For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, 'Go,' and he says, 'Go,' and another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this and do that,' and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to those who followed, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel.'" So Jesus is commending this centurion for his great faith. "And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west, sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you." And his servant was healed that same hour. Now, I like this story because Jesus is really saying, giving credit, if you will, to the centurion. Saying, it's your faith that has made your servant well. Jesus didn't go anywhere. He didn't touch anybody. He just spoke it. Let me tell you, the word of God does not change. The word of God is active. The Bible says it's sharper than a two-edged sword. The word of God brings truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, it tells us in Romans 10:13. You and I have got to believe in the word of God. See, the word of God has not changed. The word of God didn't just work when Jesus walked the face of the earth, and now it doesn't work anymore. His word works. You and I need to understand what faith is. Simply, faith is believing that Jesus has already met every need we have through the gift of his grace, and then just believe that. Believe that he has met every need. It tells us in Peter that he's met every need that we have according to life and godliness. He's done it all. Ephesians chapter 1, he says that he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And so we need to believe simply that God has nothing but our best interests in mind. Your faith can become your point of contact, just like it did when the centurion. It says the very moment that he believed is when his servant was healed. That very moment. All right? So it's really about believing. Our faith sets the time that you receive your healing. It can be something that you physically touch. Many of you are familiar. We're not going to turn there tonight. Mark 9, I think we did a couple weeks ago. We looked at the story. Mark 9:20 in particular. But Mark chapter 9 is one place it's recorded where the woman with the issue of blood, and it said that she suffered many things from the physicians but didn't grow better but worse. And there were a multitude of people around Jesus. And the Bible says thronging or pushing on him. It was just a huge crowd, and he's walking. And the Bible says that she said, if I may just touch the hem of his garment. All right? And she did, and she received her healing. Jesus wasn't even aware of it, but he said, "Who touched me?" See? So, and he says, "Your faith has made you well." All right? So she touched. That was her point of contact. It's always based on the finished work of Jesus, whether it's something that we touch. I mean, we come down and we pray for one another. We lay hands on one another. We've got anointing oil here, which the Bible says, and we'll look at some scriptures here in a moment, that we can anoint one another with oil. That's okay, but listen, it's our faith in the Word of God based on the finished redemptive work of Jesus Christ. It's something he's already done. Acts 19:11, look at some different points of contact. It says, "Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them." So here we see where there's a point of contact with handkerchiefs or aprons. Now, you don't go copying this. I mean, the thing is, faith can be activated by any number of things, but it's our faith in the Word of God ultimately is where we receive our healing. And I just say this, you know, sometimes I've seen people that say, "Well, I prayed about it once, that's it." Well, listen, I don't know about you, but I believe the Bible teaches we need to pray over and over and over. We need to continue to confess it. We need to continue to believe it. We need to continue to confess it. We need to continue to believe it. We need to pray. When I need prayer, I get prayer from as many people as I can. But I get prayer from people of like faith. Now, that's really important. But listen, you pray until you receive, and then you just say, you know, I prayed and I've received it, and now I agree in Jesus' name that I've got it. Somebody else wants to pray with you, say, well, have them agree with you. I agree that I have gotten the healing that Jesus paid for. Acts 5:15. It says, so they brought the sick into the streets, and they laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Here we see that even healing just is activated through a shadow falling on people. So there's different ways that we can see healing manifested, but again, it's always based on the finished work of Jesus. It's always through our faith in the anointing that Jesus has brought. James 5:14. Is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Again, healing power can flow through other believers, a point of contact. What's important is that we know the source where healing comes from, which is Jesus. All right? Next thing we need to understand is we need to turn our faith loose now. Faith works now. Say now. It's really something we say, now I receive it. I receive it now. Hebrews 11:1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Some think, well, when God gets ready, I'll be healed. That will not get us healed. He has been ready. You need to believe now. Faith is now. It's something he has already done. All right? Again, in Isaiah 53, verses 3, 4, and 5, and even more than that, but those verses in particular say, by Jesus' stripes, we were healed. It's something that was already done 2,000 years ago when Jesus paid the price. All right? So it's something we need to believe now. Hebrews 11:6, it says this. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I want to talk about that phrase, seek him. See, first we've got to believe that God is a rewarder. God, again, has nothing but good things. God is my healer. My healing is for today. I'm releasing my faith now. But it says here that he rewards those who diligently seek him. And seek literally means to crave or to investigate. To crave or to investigate. Let me ask you tonight, are you craving the Word of God? Are you craving the presence of God? It's really important. Again, it's not based on our works, but listen, you see over and over again, am I pursuing God? Am I passionate for God? See, God's not going to heal you when you get perfect. God's not going to heal you when you arrive somewhere. But when you're passionate for him, when you're pursuing him, when you're seeking him, what ends up happening is you're reading the word, you're excited about it, you're on fire, you're passionate, you're looking at him, you're not looking at your own shortcomings, you're not looking at your sickness, you're looking at him, the author and finisher of your faith, and before you know it, bam, your reward is there. That's how faith works, looking at him, not looking at myself. Not looking at others who doubt, not embracing doubt, but embracing faith, which is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I've tasted his grace, then that's all I want to think about. I'm craving God in such a way that I'll skip food. I'll skip sleep because I want to spend time in God's word. And see, that's how we kindle our faith. Again, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It's important for us to read the word, to cry out for God, to seek him passionately, to crave, to investigate. Matter of fact, Mark 10:48, blind Bartimaeus, we're not going to turn there. You can read it on your own, Mark 10:48. Blind man is begging on the side of the road. Jesus is coming, and he's crying out, oh, heal me! Heal me! And the disciples say, you need to be quiet. The Bible says he started to yell more and more. He received his healing that day. He received his healing that day. How passionate are you to believe the word of God? How passionate are you to believe that God said he'll do what he would do? Don't let doubt creep in. Don't let people tell you you can't believe the word of God. Don't let people's circumstance dictate to you. Don't let your circumstance dictate to you. You believe in God's word. It will meet every need. Psalm 34:8, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. When you taste the Lord, you know that he is good. Now, there was a time the disciples asked Jesus to increase their faith. I want to talk about that a little bit, increasing our faith. Disciples said, Jesus, increase our faith. And this was Jesus' answer in Luke 17:6. He said to them, if you have faith as of a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. How many know a mustard seed is not very big? It is not very big. But what Jesus was saying, look, if you want big faith, it doesn't need to be huge, but you need to say. What you say is so important. So important. Activate your faith by saying, as a matter of fact, Romans 4, I want to look at something just a moment. I didn't have this in our notes, but Romans 4, verse 17, out of the New King James Version. Romans 4. I think I want verse 17. Let me see here. Speaking of the blessedness of Abraham, which is really the covenant that we have, is through Abraham, really the promises that Jesus would come, because Abraham would be a father of many nations, which is talking of the Gentiles that would come under the covenant we have through Jesus. And speaking of Abraham, he says in verse 17, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope and hope believes, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be, according to what was spoken. All right, what we say is extremely, extremely important. Jesus said, taught this over and over again. The things that we say are really what releases faith. The word of God speaking, the word of God. There's power in that, all right? That's really where you get, you know, maybe you've heard somebody say a rhema word. That is a spoken word that actually is life in it. Speaking life. Speaking life. And so, you know, Jesus really said, whatever things you desire, when you pray, say. See, you need to speak the word of God. And so really what we're doing is we're saying, you know what, I know that right now I have sickness in my body. I have a report from the doctors. I know we're walking through some things with Mike right now. I saw Mike earlier. I see a family here. I don't know where Mike went off. Are you back there? I can't. It's so hard to see back there. And we just, you know, when you go and you get treatments from the hospital, when you know, we're not saying we don't believe in doctors. But the thing is, we just continue to say and speak to our body, by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. And you speak it over, and you get a hold of the word of God, and you start to take a look at things and say, without faith, it's impossible to please him. The only way I can please God is by believing that he is a rewarder. Do you see that? It's not by something that I do. I'm believing that God is the rewarder, so I'm putting faith in him, and now I'm speaking his word that he is healing. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 8, verse 13. He said he fulfilled the very scripture that we've quoted several times in this teaching out of Isaiah 53. That he fulfilled the scripture that says, by his stripes we were healed. And the Bible says that he healed the multitude. You and I got to believe that Jesus has paid the price for our healing. This works with financial issues. It works with relationship issues. But again, tonight we're talking about healing in particular. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Call things that are not as though they were. That is really the faith that God has placed on the inside of us through Jesus Christ. And so really, the word of God is like a catalyst that we speak. And it really just like a flamethrower. Come on, somebody. You're throwing flames on whatever that situation is where you need healing. The next thing we need to do is close the case. Because here's what happens. We believe healing is for us. We speak a word. But then we allow doubt to creep in. We cannot allow doubt to creep in. John 5, I want to read. This is a man who receives his healing who is by the pool of Bethesda. This pool was a place, the Bible says, that an angel would come and dip, and the first person who got in the pool first would receive their healing. And so people are laying around this pool, and there's a gentleman there who needs healing. He's a crippled man. And Jesus heals him on that day. Let's read this, John 5, 9. He says, and that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, this is a guy who for 38 years, the Bible said, that he was a cripple. Jesus came up to him, and he said, do you want to be made well? That's really how he said it to him. Do you want healing today? And that minute, he was healed, all right? But here they are, and the Jews come, and this is what religion will do. It says, well, that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, it's the Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed. See, this is how doubt will creep in. People will say, well, you're just crazy to believe the word of God. Well, how can you believe? You know, how can you believe? What makes you special? Nothing makes you special, but God is special. And God's thoughts for you are nothing but good, all right? It's based on his goodness. He answered them. He said, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. Then they said to him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him, the one who was healed, in the temple, and he said to him, this is interesting. See, you have been made well. Jesus is reminding him. See, you've been made well. He says, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Then the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. All I want to say is, don't let doubt creep in. Here's what happens. You receive a healing. You've received a word from God. You believe God. And then somebody will say, well, you can't do that. Well, that doesn't work. You know, healing went out with the disciples. Well, you know, Jesus healed, but that's just not the way it is today. Don't allow that to get into your mind. You cannot allow that to get in. See, Jesus was telling him, look, you've been made well. Sin no more, lest a greater thing come upon you. Don't let doubt creep in, is what he's saying. Don't let religious ideas creep in. Don't let the thoughts and the words of doubt of other people creep in to your situation. You've got to remember that you have been made well. Don't let lack of faith that others have steal your blessing. Don't back down. Don't allow sin to creep in. Don't allow doubt to creep in. That's what I mean by sin. Something that's saying, well, the Word of God doesn't work. The Word of God does not work. And then stay surrounded by others of like faith. Very important. Luke 5:17. Now, a certain day, he was teaching, and there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. See, it's the power of the Lord that heals. Say that. It's the power of the Lord that heals. Just because it's present doesn't mean that you're going to receive it. Sometimes you've got to raise the roof, so to speak. In verse 18, it says, then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on a housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. You know, every time I read this story, I think, how tenacious am I? Am I willing to stop at nothing to believe the Word of God? Am I just not going to back down? Am I going to continue to believe God's Word? Am I going to press in? Am I going to bring healing to someone else? Am I going to pray for others? And am I going to believe that this is something that Jesus is doing today? In verse 20, it says, when Jesus saw their faith, faith can be seen. Faith can be seen. And when we get our eyes off ourselves and start to look to Jesus, start to look to his promises, what starts to happen is we're speaking the Word of God. Faith just starts to really rise up on the inside. And we're not going to back down. We are not going to stop. Just like these guys did for their friend, they ripped that roof up and they were going to get to Jesus. How passionate are we for the Word of God, believing his promises, regardless of our situation? So it says, when he saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason. Reason is a faith killer, by the way. Let me just say that. Don't reason. It says, who is he who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and he said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Don't reason. Another thing that you see here, remember we said early on that really the forgiveness of sins and healing really go together. Here they're bringing this guy to be healed, and Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Because remember, Psalm 103, it says, let's not forget all of God's benefits. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's not forget all of his benefits, who heals our diseases and forgives our iniquities. All right? It's one and the same. If we believe that God's love saves us, then we believe that God's word heals us, or his love. Romans 8:32, it says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, now shall he not with him also freely give us what? All things. If we believe in salvation, then we should believe that healing is for us. We can't doubt and question and reason like the Pharisees did with this young man. They say, who is this? Can God? See, doubt will never produce faith. When we start saying, can God? Does God? Will God? We will not have faith working. That's doubt, and it's the enemy of our faith. See, only grace can believe in God's divine favor, and that's really where faith comes in, and really we start to believe in the Word of God. Reading on in verse 23, Jesus says this, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or say, rise up and walk? Again, we see Jesus is saying, look, it's the same. If you believe that Jesus will heal us in our mind, in our spirit, giving us eternal life, then we've got to believe that he also heals us physically. But that you may know that the Son of God has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately he rose before them, took up what he had been lying on and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. So we see here that Jesus is the healer, but it's our faith that's the vehicle that receives the healing that Jesus provides. What do I mean by that? In this case, it said Jesus saw their faith. Why? Because they busted up the roof and they got the man to Jesus. So our faith, we're trusting in the word of God. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're believing that God will do and has done what he said he would do. All right? Romans 1:16, it says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also the Greek. The gospel of Christ brings healing. It brings forgiveness of sins and it brings healing. Luke 9:56, it says, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to what? To save them. Jesus came to save, to heal, and deliver. James 1:17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. You and I have got to realize that God is good all the time. He doesn't change. He doesn't heal one over here and not heal someone, then heal some. I mean, some people even have almost like a duck, duck, goose theology. But God just kind of goes, you know, duck, duck, goose, duck, duck, goose. God's good to some, but not good to others. That is not true. God is always good. God is always good. We have an enemy, and that's the devil. All right? Matthew 14:14, it says, and when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. We have a compassionate God. He is interested in every detail of our lives, and he has provided healing through his Son, Jesus Christ. Mark 1:41, it says, and Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. See, Jesus is compassionate. He's interested in every area of our lives with every detail, and he provides healing for you and I. Now, we've got a few more minutes together here. What I want to do is, John, if you could just put a little bit of keyboard music on. Maybe you're here tonight and you're agreeing for some healing, all right? You're agreeing for some healing in your body. I want to pray for you. Just take a moment here and just wait on the Lord. Whatever that is, I'm just asking you, you feel the Holy Spirit moving on you right now, just step up right out of your seat where you are. Come forward for healing. Say, I'm believing God for healing. Thank you. Thank you. Just come right up. I'll pray over you in a moment. Just come right up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Bob, I know you're here. You can help me pray. Trish, are you here? I don't know who else we have with prayer team. If the prayer ministry is here, that's fine. I just don't know who's here, but anyone from the prayer ministry, if you can help here. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 I want to read a scripture. I've referenced it a few times tonight, but I want to read it. It says here, now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, this is Matthew 8:14, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever, so he touched her hand and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. Verse 16, and when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. He himself took our infirmities, our weaknesses, and bore our diseases. First of all, let me ask you, I think I know all of you, but do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you know that you're on your way to heaven? Do you know that you're born again? And as same as you know that, so healing has been provided through the atonement. It's no different. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, verse 3, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, who heals all our diseases and forgives all our iniquities. The same way that he brought forgiveness, it wasn't something we worked for. This is something he brought. He brings healing the same way. It's no different. 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 In Jesus' name, oh, Karabas, we praise you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for healing in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your healing power in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we thank you for healing in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that you just touched.